The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We will begin, as always, with our impact segment. 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. As we begin, we want to throw out a huge congratulations to Pastor Greg Laurie and everybody at Harvest for their drive-in church at the outlets at Orange over the weekend. 1,400 cars packed the mall. 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and we appreciate Pastor Greg, obviously a new beginning, his radio ministry on this radio station, and thinking outside the box. In fact, Greg's going to be on the program, I think, Thursday, but thinking outside the box. I want to begin this hour talking a little bit about thinking outside the box. This morning, I had a conversation with a dear friend, 45 minutes engaged on the phone, and he burned a hole in my ear. He kept going on and on and on and on about the new season, and God is calling on anyone that names the name of Jesus. In his words, it's time to grow up. And I kind of sat up a little bit, like, tell me more. And he was sharing about, obviously, COVID-19, and this has been a hard time, and people have lost their jobs, lost their lives, mental health going through the roof in terms of addictions and relapses. And he just started talking about Jesus. You know this guy. I'll tell you who I'm talking about in a moment. But he kept going on and on about Jesus. He said, we love Jesus. We need to be bold. What are we doing? So many people are afraid. He goes, and I understand that. You know, we're so conditioned now. You go out a little bit. I went to the local Target yesterday, and goodness, I think I got within 3 feet of a guy, and he just kind of gave me the double glance, like, what are you doing? As I walked by him. But when we say God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, right? God's a God of order. And yet some of us say, well, I believe in Jesus and I go to church, but we just kind of check the boxes. Maybe for some of you, you grew up in the church, right? There's a story about a singer who we'll talk about here, and I'm interested in your comments. That's how we're starting this impact segment. Grown up in the church, a pastor's kid, and lead singer of a Christian rock band now says he doesn't even know if he believes in God. If you've not heard, I'm talking about the band Hawk Nelson. Now, I want to be real honest here. I'm 10-plus years in the Lord. I find, let me take a breath here. I find a lot of Christian contemporary music kind of soft. Not my palate, if you will. And so obviously Hawk Nelson has achieved some notoriety. John Steingard is the front man, and he basically says, look, quote, I've been terrified to post this for a while, but I feel like it's time for me to be honest. After growing up in a Christian home, being a pastor's kid, playing and singing in a Christian band, and having the word Christian in front of most of the things in my life, I am now finding that I no longer believe in God. End quote. Throughout the letter, it was posted on Instagram, Steingard discussed growing up deeply engrossed in cultural Christianity. Explains how over time his faith began to wane as he developed doubts about the nature and reality of God. In the letter, he went on to explain that his faith began to crumble when he looked into questioning the veracity of the Bible. He recalls having a conversation with his father-in-law, also a pastor, about a specific passage in the Bible that troubled him. Now, before we share a little bit about that passage, phone lines are wide open, 888-528-2557. If you want to contribute, if you can in any way, shape, or form, you're led to comment on this, maybe you can relate to it, I'd love to hear your calls and maybe talk more about it. In fact, I'm going to reach out to him and see if he wants to be on the program. I've got some thoughts too. But so one particular passage in the Bible troubled him. For me, I've read more than one that trouble me. So therefore, I'm like, well, I just don't even know if God exists. Right now, I'm on the outside looking in. I don't know him. I don't really know their music. Seems like he was raised, grew up around all of this. And on the outside, you can look like you've got it. You know the Bible. You go to church. Your father's a pastor, all that. But if you're not healed on the inside, oh, you can rest assured Satan's going to come after you. And so I see this story, and someone said, are you going to talk about Hawk Nelson today? And I was kind of on the fence. But this isn't surprising to me at all. In fact, I don't misunderstand my words. I think 20s, 30s, a lot of, by my chronological age, younger people maybe reach a crisis point where they start doubting their faith a little bit. I think that's potentially a healthy thing. Some of you may have prodigals, and you, even to this day, you're grieving, like somehow that they're lost forever. That's a lie from hell. Of course they're not lost forever. Keep praying. Satan always lies. Oh, prayers, you know, just that's all you can do, and just give up, and they're never coming back. Stereotypically, over the number of years I've been doing this program, at public events, that is the one topic more than anything. People come up, and after a few moments of pleasantries, they say, can I talk to you a moment? And they share about their son or daughter that they're struggling with because they've been in a place by which their son or daughter says, I'm not so sure I believe Christianity anymore. And I encourage the parents, look, pray for them. This potentially could be the best thing that happened. I'm reminded of Lee Strobel, the author of The Case for Christ, and he was on recently, but I know Lee and I have had conversations off the air. Even Josh McDowell, when his son Sean came to him years ago, somewhere I've got the audio clip, and said, you know, Dad, I'm not so sure I believe in Christianity. And without missing a beat, Josh McDowell said to his son, that's a great thing. Let's talk. Right? Are we so afraid that our faith is so synthetic, so vacuous, so empty, that the moment of doubt, we as our, you know, parents, if you will, we hit the panic button like, oh my gosh, they're gonna leave. They're out. What am I gonna do? If you're healed from the inside, you're free. You can doubt. You can have fears. Who hasn't doubted or had fears during this season that we're in? But the idea of walking away or saying I don't believe in God, I'd like to suggest maybe you've never met God. Maybe you've just been filled with a lot of Christian platitudes, like the lead singer of Hawk Nelson. I don't know. I mean, no disrespect. We need to pray for this guy. But here's the passage in the Bible that really troubled him. Quote, I was asking about a verse in 1 Timothy that seems really oppressive of women. It indicates that women shouldn't be in church leadership, shouldn't teach men, shouldn't wear their hair in braids. To me, that seems less like the message of the loving God that most Christians believe in now, and more like the ideas that would have been present in a culture at the time. He wrote, a male-dominated society where women were treated less like equals and more like property, end quote. Do you think he's had a little exposure to theological liberalism or the progressive Christianity that so many people embrace? Sounds to me like it. Steingart said his father-in-law directed him to review the original Greek translations of the Bible source material, suggesting that modern translations may have misinterpreted the intent of the biblical authors. As a result, Steingart concluded that if the modern translation can't be trusted, which of course it can, neither can the original Greek writings. He said, this revelation undermined my overall faith in God. Some Christian musicians of notoriety reached out to him. There's names and bands listed here. I find no reason to say that, but they basically all said, look, we're here. If you want to talk, we love you. Thank you for sharing this. And I say, welcome to the way of the world in this day and age. This is not unusual. This is not shocking. If you truly have a relationship with Jesus and know who he is, and know who he is, there are times when your faith may struggle a little bit, or you may go, I'm not so sure, but tap out and say there's no God. I don't believe in God anymore. It's pretty eye-opening. 888-528-2557. So being direct, you know, maybe you've been a fan of the band Hawk Nelson. Did you hear about this? Is this devastating? Is it upsetting? Maybe you've got some thoughts. Maybe you've had your own dark night of the soul. 888-528-2557. We have a couple of open lines. And we'll do this for the impact segment only unless the board gets jammed and you really want to talk about this. I've got so much I can get into as well. But I have two last thoughts. In my 20s and 30s, I didn't have a crisis of faith. Heck, I was out in the world. I didn't care about faith. I cared about myself. So my story is a bit of an anomaly. At 54, I came to know Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And in 10 years, I've had quite a bit thrown at me and the kitchen sink. And I'm like, nope, he's King, he's Lord. I have no doubt. It's not even a belief system, it's a knowing. And so when I see young people, 36, the guy's been in the Christian culture his whole life, Christian rock band, all that stuff. It's not surprising. But how do we respond to this? Maybe one of the calls we'll take, and I can ask you, if you had a chance to share with John Steingart, what would you tell him? What would you say to him? 888-528-2557. My heart always goes to, do you really want to be healed? Right? Like the story of the paralytic. At the pool, 38 years, he kind of sat there. And he would see people jump in and get healed, and 38 years he's sitting there. You remember what Jesus told him or asked him?
I'm going to close out with this. The book of John is about miracles. Jesus, miracles, miracles, doing all kinds of things. John 3:3, Nicodemus, tell Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he can't enter the kingdom. John 4, he tells the woman at the well about her five husbands, say the one you with now is not your husband, so there's no secrets. The woman caught in adultery, John 8. But John 5 is one of my favorite texts because it has to do with the pool of Bethesda. It has to do with the angels stirring up the pool and all these lame people. When they stir up the pool, get in, and they get well. But this one particular man had been sitting there for 38 years. Paralyzed. How long have you been sitting? How long have you been sitting? And the man, Jesus didn't ask the man about his condition because Jesus already knew his condition. Jesus ain't asking you about your condition today. He already knows it. Jesus asked the man one particular thing. He said, do you want to be well? That's all he asked the man. So Jesus is asking somebody today, do you want to be well? And then the man went to tell Jesus he wanted to use an excuse. Jesus ain't talking about the excuses. Jesus saying, do you want to be well? Then eventually the man said, yes. Jesus said, pick up your bed and walk. So he's telling some of you today, time to pick up your bed and walk if you want to be well. You want to be changed. You want to be clean. You want to be holy. You want to be righteous. Pick up your bed and walk. Pick it up. Pick it up. Hallelujah. Something about this man, Jesus. You ain't gonna never experience it with anyone else but him. He is great. He loves you. Trust it today. Today is your day. Don't walk out of here and be the same. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the men that are here today. Father, I pray for the hearts that are being challenged today, convicted today. I pray at the end of this day, after Pastor Graham speaks and give an altar call, this altar will be full of men to be changed forever. Father, I send this petition up to you, and I ask that you seal it right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Daryl Strawberry at a Kingdom Men's Gathering. Do you really want to be healed? And again, I don't know John Steingard. I don't know the circumstances other than what this particular article in The Independent allays to, that he was raised in a home, PK, all that stuff. But it just seems to me, if you do know Jesus, there's no way you're going to go, well, I don't believe in God anymore, because the Bible just doesn't make sense in certain parts. 888-528-2557. What about a crisis of faith? Do you follow the band Hawk Nelson? Did you hear this news? Maybe you're devastated. Oh, you love that band. You can't believe he's come out and said he doesn't believe in God. 888-528-2557. We have one open line. Matt in Los Angeles. Matt, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
How you doing?
Good, Matt. How are you?
Doing well. I just wanted to say, I think that evangelicalism today has, we've done a bad job in training ordinary people and our members of our congregation to understand kind of the deeper things of the faith. And that has led to kind of a stunt in the growth of people. And so, so many people who've been members of churches for 20, 30 years don't, I mean, like you said, he read a verse in Timothy that is super well known that you think almost any person who's been a believer for years on end would know or be familiar with, that you encounter something for the first time. And so I think just a failure to really teach the growing people in our congregation the things that go beyond the simple basics has failed us kind of as a culture.
Well, I think there's truth in what you say in part, but the question to come back with you is, do you not think you're broad stroking evangelicalism a bit too much? Like somehow what, it's all indictable and there's no pastors or teachers that preach the word at all? I'm kind of surprised you can make a overarching statement like that.
Certainly it's not true of everyone. I'd say there are plenty of people out there who do a good job, but I think things like this. So when I've talked to friends who fall away from the faith or something, oftentimes people have a hard time even articulating kind of the basics of the gospel and what that means. And so when we come to other issues that we're approached with, we seem to fall because we haven't even addressed them at all.
Well, look, I have no issue with what you're saying in terms of the context by which you share it, Matt. Thank you. And I would say there are, and I think they're few and far between, but sure, there are people in positions of Christian leadership that seem like on the outside they've got it together or they've got the word, but inside they're not free. They're not healed. And I get that. But when I hear people falling away from the faith, a lot of other red flags go off in my head. Not necessarily just that somehow the onus is placed on the lack of good, solid teaching. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. Look at the society we live in. Look at the rise of secularism. Look at social media. Look at media. I mean, there's a lot of mitigating factors. But whenever somebody says, hey, I don't know if I believe in God anymore, and they've been raised in that environment, what Matt said, I wonder if John Steingart ever had, even though he's a pastor's kid, ever had somebody really show him what it means to be in relationship with Jesus versus maybe a lot of Christianese. I don't know. Matt, thank you for the call. Let's see here. We've got a full board. We just lost Matt. We've got one line open, 888-528-2557. Mickey in East L.A. Mickey, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank, how you doing?
Good, Mickey.
Like the show. We were just talking about this in our in a meeting we had yesterday with some Christians, is that there's a lot of Christians that can't get over self, of ego. God is the kingdom of God, and then there's a kingdom below, demonic powers, and then there's a kingdom of ourselves that we got to break from ourselves. And I don't know if this guy, he's I don't know anything about him. First time I've heard about him. Heard about him at work right now. Somebody just told me about this a little while ago. And he may have some tendency that he wanted to break away, but he didn't know how to say it. And now he found something, and he's using it, and he's just broken off now. And using this as his platform to say that he's just something deep down inside, like he said, he wasn't healed, but he just had something in him. He just didn't. He was pressured to do this because he was raised in the family, and he just wanted out, and now he's got it out.
Yeah, and I would, again, if we're just throwing our thoughts on this, not really knowing, you don't know John Steingart, I don't know him, and again, he's a public figure, so I think this is appropriate to have this type of conversation. But I would suspect, as you're sharing, Mickey, you know, he was raised in a home, Christian home, PK, front of a Christian band. That's a lot of what his identity was. But I get into, again, if you know who Jesus is, not what you're told he is and all of the ways in which religion is misinterpreted by the masses, right? That's why the simplistic phrase, it's a relationship, it's not religion. I think there's some truth in that. Not absolute truth, but I think that's the nuance. And I think sometimes, I mean, look at PKs, pastor's kids. The pressure, like you are pastor so-and-so's child. And man, if you don't walk and talk and look and live and breathe like you love Jesus, then oh my goodness, right? That kind of pressure. That's really hard. And I just, when I see this story, you know, my heart kind of breaks a little bit. And I'm not going to feed the flame of lies that I know some will jump on. Well, see, there it is. Here's another example. If anybody should know God and Jesus, it would be this guy. Pastor's child, raised in the home, sang Christian music, and he's walking away? He doesn't believe in God? Well, there you go. See, you Christians, your God is not real. And I haven't even... I don't have long sleeves on today, but I would say, well, I haven't even rolled up my sleeves and gotten into the conversation. Gee, do you think there's somebody that would maybe have him in his sights from early on? Right? You know what I'm talking about. The entity that the world says there's no such person. There's no such thing as evil. You don't think Satan had his sights on PKs? Oh, my goodness. But when I see this story, headline, Hawk Nelson, former Christian rocker, reveals he no longer believes in God. Subtitle, I've been terrified to post this for a while, but I feel like it's time for me to be honest. Why terrified? Have you not been honest before? Have you not? Here's my suspicion. He's never felt safe enough to even share any doubts. So what happens is you isolate, you take all of that in, you don't share with anybody, and then it gets to a point where I just have to blurt it out. I don't even know if God's real. And for me, if there's any indictment, and I don't even care to bang on the church a little bit here, but if there's any indictment at all, I think it's very little, that we need to make it safe in churches for people to talk about their struggles and their doubts. And I think many churches do that. Many pastors are very sensitive and at the forefront of that, in part because they have experienced tragedies in their own life. Two that immediately come to mind, Pastor Greg Laurie and Pastor Rick Warren. We've got to be willing to go, you have doubts, you have struggles, you're not sure. Well, praise God. 11 of the 12, right, of Jesus' disciples saw the miracles, walked with them for 3 years, and they had doubts. But I can tell you this, there are people that know who Jesus is, they've been healed by his stripes, and there is something markedly different about their attitudes, their walks, the way they teach and preach God's word. And it is undeniable where you go, I want to have some of that, if you will. You know, that level of freedom, nothing in this world can bring that level of freedom. All of the goodies, all of the money, all of the accolades, all of the things that the world says, this will make you happy, pales in comparison to having a ongoing, living, breathing relationship with Jesus Christ. He is amazing. And we need to pray for John Steingard, for sure. So, as we continue, we have one open line. So, we'll next segment, we'll still continue to talk about this. Maybe you did not hear the front man for the band Hawk Nelson now is in the news in an Instagram post saying he doesn't really believe in God anymore. If you had an opportunity to share with him, what would you say? Maybe you've followed this band and you're just hearing this. What are your thoughts? And what about the idea of just having doubts? Or maybe just an overall comment on the story literally. 888-528-2557. 888-528-2557. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. If you're just joining us, there is a story in the news about a lead singer of a Christian rock band. Maybe you've heard of Hawk Nelson. The lead singer, John Steingard, has posted on Instagram that he is at a point in his life where he says he no longer believes in God. There is a context to the story. Grew up in a Christian home, pastor's child, played music in this band for a number of years. And he claims that it all came down to a moment of a Bible passage that he asked for help on, and the answer wasn't what he was looking for, so he said, well, you know, he's out. He can't believe it anymore. Obviously, to anyone with a modicum of intelligence, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. Did he ever have a relationship with Jesus? I'm not here to doubt his salvation or really get into it, but I think that this story is really a prime opportunity to talk about faith. And do we have doubts? Maybe you like the band Hawk Nelson and you're just hearing about this. Your calls are welcomed. We have a full board. When we have a line open, I'll let you know. 888-528-2557. What about a crisis of faith? Gail in San Diego. Gail, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Well, hey, yes, as I mentioned, I had several growing up in a preacher's home. And again, I had asked my mom, told my mom one time when I was about 16, I didn't believe in God, and we were walking at night. She said, well, look up at the stars. Who do you think put them there? So my question, too, for the front man of Hog Nelson. You know, who knows if he really doesn't believe in God or believe in God the way he was taught. Now, if I remember, you said something about that passage in Timothy. I'm a woman. I looked at that a lot. And, you know, to just have someone say, well, go look at another translation, doesn't really say a lot, because overall, God is so big, he's definitely going to keep his word together as far as the meanings go. People can switch it around, but the meaning is going to remain the same if it's a true integrity translation. So I had questions about that, but then I realized that, you know, it's how people can teach things sometimes, and the truth of God necessarily doesn't mean it's being taught, because there, even Jesus addressed that when he even said to Pharisees and people, you're in error because you don't even know the scriptures or the word of God.
Yep, I think that's well said. Gail, thank you for sharing. The subtitle of the article, it says, quote, I've been terrified to post this for a while, but I feel like it's time for me to be honest. So my question is, the story aside, why is he terrified? And why does he feel like he has to, like, come clean now? Why didn't he do this earlier? Did he never have conversations about having doubts in faith? I know there's a lot of pressure on pastor kids. You got to be perfect. Oh, my goodness. So I think there's a lot of this story that maybe we can relate to in our own ways. In fact, Eric has a good point. Eric in Los Angeles, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. Grateful for your call. Thanks for doing that.
I'm glad to hear it. You know, I actually wanted to point out the fact that, I find it interesting how, you know, I've seen a couple of different examples of Christian artists who will later on during their career, you know, admit that their personal walk with God actually began after their career had taken off. You know, they could have a career as a Christian artist and, you know, have this, I guess, role as a public example of what a Christian's supposed to be and have the knowledge even. You know, have scriptural knowledge, but when it comes down to it, you know, their walk begins afterwards, as in, you know, the moment that they begin to have a personal relationship. And so I think that, you know, these artists, and including him, you know, a pastor's kid and a Christian artist, you know, is just the epitome or you know, the more, I guess, just an example of the type of people that we will have in our churches. Say, you know, if you're a child who's raised in church, and so like you said, you know, there's a pressure that you're going to have to kind of accept the faith without actually getting to know him or experience him. And so my question really becomes, you know, did he really get to experience God? You know, what was the level of that relationship? You know, you can't just have a relationship with somebody just because you know who they are.
Yep.
You know, you have to actually spend time with them in prayer, experience them. It goes beyond just intellectual knowledge. You know, it goes down to what kind of spiritual connection and relationship did he have with God? And, you know, if he wasn't able to experience that, then did he really know God to begin with?
Yep.
'Cause I truly believe you're right. You know, if you know God at one point, I don't think you could just go back and be like, I don't think I believe in him.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's one thing to doubt. It's another thing to be in a season of fear or struggle. But to say now I no longer believe in him, again, less about him, John Steingart, directly, more about us talking about our faith. But what goes through my mind, as you said, Eric, did he ever know him? Did he ever have relationship with him? Rick in La Crescenta. Rick, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. I'm glad you called. Thank you.
I just wanted to share my personal story. I was brought up in a Christian family, and it was a good, strong Christian family, although imperfect, too. And, you know, my whole life, you know, in the Christian church. And I accepted Christ when I was just a little boy. I remember maybe 6 years old. But this is the thing. I fell away many times throughout my life, you know, and I struggled with my faith. And the thing that I come back to is there's something, I don't know where it is in the Bible, but there's scripture that talks about something about being a double-minded man. And I realize that was my problem, is that I never really committed to Christ 100%, that I, there was some part of me that wanted to hang on to my old life, you know, and I went back to my old habits, and I was a double-minded man. And for decades, you know, I was struggling with that. And it took many years, and thank God, he never gave up on me, and he forgave me for all the dumb things I've done. And I reached a point to where I realized, you know, this is it. You know, I can't be a double-minded man.
Yeah.
It's I'm all in.
Well, and look, your level of honesty, I think, blesses a lot of people listening right now, because in my observation, very few of us are all in. We go back and forth. By the way, James 1:8 is what you're referring to, the ESV version. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if you're double-minded, the Bible says you're going to be unstable all around. And yeah, until you do commit, until you do go all in. Thank you, Rick. Thank you for your call. 888-528-2557. There's a story that I've had here literally for the last, well, more than a week. Many of you listening right now, with this pandemic, you were forced in a position, mostly moms, to homeschool your children. There's a study that I'm thinking, really? I'll read the headlines. We'll come back and talk more about this. 40% of parents are now more likely to homeschool their children after the lockdown ends. Is that you? We'll talk about that and much more as we continue with this, the Frank Sontag Show, next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Follow-up to the previous conversation about John Steingard, the lead singer for Hawk Nelson. Daniel was telling me off the air, by the way, I'm not a Hawk Nelson fan, but Daniel was saying John Steingard has been the lead singer for the last 15, 16 years, but not the original singer, at least the founding singer, and that a lot of the last two albums have been pretty deep, spiritually speaking. So we'll reach out to John, see if he's interested in coming on the program, and we'll follow the story. And if you have any comments and you didn't get through, you can always email me at franksontag@kkla.com and franksontag@kprz.com. Now, this next insight is eye-opening to me. Around 4 in 10 families say they are now more likely to homeschool their children after the lockdown ends. This is according to a new survey from Real Clear Opinion Research. Now, let me read a little more and then I'll give you my comments. John Schilling, president of the American Federation of Children, said the poll should inform policy decisions as we move forward with school, however that looks. Quote, every single family with children in schools has been incredibly disrupted by the lockdowns. With 55 million students no longer in their normal education setting, families are clearly considering new options. Many are seeing the benefits of homeschooling and virtual schooling, end quote. A total of 40.8% of parents said they are now more likely to homeschool their children. And then the research goes on to break down categories, et cetera, et cetera. Last quote, Schilling went on to say, quote, this is the time for leadership and for desperately needed bold reforms to be implemented across our K-12 education system. Says the American Federation for Children, according to its mission statement, is there to empower families, especially lower-income families, with the freedom to choose the best K-12 education for their children. I will say this. I think it's safe to say the overwhelming majority of homeschooling that went on in the home, it was the moms. right? I know that's the case with my incredible wife. A lot of moms, it's like all of a sudden you're thrown into, yeah, go ahead, teach him or her the math that they're being taught in school. And I'm thinking, good luck on that. I heard enough conversations with my patient wife, and I praise God for our son who just finished the sixth grade, but and they did quite well, actually. But more than 40% of you listening, according to this survey, you're leaning more toward homeschooling. I would love maybe to get into that conversation on another program at another time. Because just for me, logic 101 kind of said, no, it's difficult. This is a new dynamic. One day our children were in school. The next day you're the teacher. And maybe I'm way off. I just kind of got a sense, not only from the experience of being around at my house, but hearing from other parents that this was a struggle, and now homeschooling, you want to do more of this? At least 40.8% of those that were involved in the survey. I will say one last thing. I think there are incredible benefits to homeschooling. And there have been groups and individuals that have been against the idea for a long period of time. Way back when you would hear, homeschooling, your child needs to be socialized around other children. Well, a lot of research that says that's not necessarily the case. I think of the public school system. You know, I do hope and pray that we will have school in the form of a building in the fall. Not my intention to use this survey as a jumping off platform, but my goodness, if I didn't talk a bit about half off tuition, I'd go home tonight thinking, you know, Frank, you needed to share that there are scores of those of you listening right now that the largest division by which your child wasn't in a private school is just basic economics, finances. And yet we have for a long time partner with schools right in our community here with half-off tuition, by which we reach out to elementary, middle school, high schools, all different campuses all around in our community and say, look, we'd like to partner with you and give some of the families right in our community here the opportunity to send their son or daughter to a private Christian school for the first time for half the price of tuition. The question we feel more than anything at this radio station when people call, parents call, is it really half off? It is. It's pretty amazing and quite a blessing we want to extend to you. So know, as we move through this summer and the fall is upon us, I think the likelihood is maybe school won't be exactly the way it was before. But I think we will have a semblance of school where we drop our children off and they're in school. And if maybe through all of this, the conversation and the prayers in your house have been, we really want to send them to a private Christian school. Reach out to us at the radio station. Go to our website. There's a big half-off tuition bus. It's the banner. You click on it. Gives you all the information, all the schools in your community. And you may maybe have your eye on one, or maybe you're new to our area and you've met a family that go to school at said school and you're like, maybe that's where we want to send our son or daughter. And you've gone to our website and you don't see that school. Reach out to us anyway. We'll contact that school and see if they are interested in partnering with us in offering you half off tuition. So please do that. Be proactive. We're about to begin the month of June. I remember so many of us lamented how long February took. With everything that occurred now, it seems like time's speeding up again. We've just gone May, come gone. June will be here. School time is around the corner. So go to our website, click on the half-off tuition banner, reach out to us, call us, send us an email, let us know how we can bless you. even set up an appointment for half the price of tuition to the school of your choice. We'd be honored to do that. This is the Frank Sontag Show.